I owe an apology to Debbie. I didn't give her much notice a few moments ago when I moved from here across right in front of that speaker. So my second apology is to you that the feedback went bam and hit us all at once. So I'm so sorry for that. I am amazed. I don't have the bulletin right in front of me, or yes, I do. What is today's title of the message in the bulletin? Independence from within. Well, the Holy Spirit has something to say to us today. Let's just put it that way. So you remember that title and remember what's about to happen, because I had no idea until just seconds ago when I looked at the title of what RB was going to speak on while Harry was away. But before I go there, what I'm about to say has nothing to do with the message, I don't think, except it has to do with what we just sang. Jesus loves even me. So I was traveling as a drummer with a music group, and we had an endorsement from Andre Crouch. Now, some of you may remember Andre Crouch and the music, and it permeated the worship scene for years. So we were singing some of Andre's songs, and one of those is I Don't Know Why Jesus Loved Me. So some of you have been in a choir, so you know what this looks like from the director's perspective. So I'm over here, the choir's here, the director's here, facing the choir. He looks at me to cue the next song, which was on the list. And he said to me, just mouthing the words, I don't know why Jesus loved me. And I don't know what came over me in the moment, but I looked at him and I said, I don't know either. Well, needless to say, we almost lost our director in the moment. It was like, oh my goodness. The director's name was Tom Russell, and he was, college choir director, He was Mr., a bag of chips and everything else, He was all that. I mean, he was dressed to the T. And I thought he was going to fall right there on the platform with laughter, And so that went down in our history, because he would look at me and then wonder, if I tell him the next song, what's he going to say back to me, So so there was a story always going on between he and I as we approached the music of the day. Well, I want to begin with this. First of all, have you been to the fair, maybe an arcade? Some of you maybe with your grandkids, others will remember this from the fair. But have you ever played the whack-a-mole game? Have you? Okay. So let's see that again. How many of you played the whack-a-mole game? That thing is exciting, but it's maddening at the same time, isn't it? The moles are popping up out of the table, and you've got this bat, and you're trying to smack the thing, and your aggression is like, gotcha. And you score points by hitting the moles. And the scoreboard's right in front of you, So it's ding, 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 ding every time you hit a mole. Well, it's fun when it's a game, but when it's life, when it's our communication, when it's our relationships, not so much fun. So one of the things that I often do when I'm working with individuals or couples, and in fact, in reality, we're going to do a little of that today here in this message, is that we need to learn to disconnect the moles so that one mole doesn't jump up and another mole doesn't jump up and another mole doesn't jump up. And these moles are the challenges that we face in our communication in our life. So what we have to do is we have to go under the surface of the table and disconnect those rascals so they don't continue to jump up on us. So I find this with couples, when I'm working with couples, is that it may be in the morning how the toothpaste tube is squeezed. And I had one guy say to me, oh, well, we've solved that problem. We have two different tubes, So, hey, whatever works, You squeeze it one way, squeeze it another, no problem. That's one way to go under the table and disconnect. There are all kinds of situations, experiences that we have that create those jumping moles, if you will, in our life. And often, just like the game itself, it can be maddening because you can't understand necessarily why someone else is responding to you in the way they're responding. So a little of what we're going to talk about then today is what's going on under the table. So about a year ago, in fact, when I was here in 2014, I delivered a message then that was about listening. So a little of the message today is going to be about listening, but really it goes to our heart. What is in our heart? Because the scripture tells us that it's out of our heart is what comes out of our mouth. So if it's in our heart, it comes out of our mouth. And sometimes we are shocked at what comes out of our mouth. You know, we're like, oh my, I didn't want to say that, or now I'm going to have to apologize, or, you know, I wish I could get all those feathers back into the pillow. But I've already said it. It's out there. So dealing with this and understanding this, not only in our own hearts and minds, but I think to some degree so important as it relates to those that we're communicating the love of God to. Whether it's the person that's in our family, maybe it's our kids or grandkids, or maybe it's the person standing in line with us at the market, or it could be the person who's the checkout person at the market. It could be anywhere in the marketplace of our lives where we have contact with other people. So today we're going to do an illustration, but I'm going to warn Emily, and Hugh didn't know this, but I'm going to warn Hugh, so he'll have plenty of time to get all, you know, filled with anxiety and all that. You're okay, Hugh? We're good so far? We're good so far? I promised Emily, who's sitting right behind you, I promised her, she's the youngest person in the room, so I promised her that it wouldn't be embarrassing. And then I kind of, under my breath, said, too embarrassing. So, you know, I no promises. No promises, okay? But the message kind of was prompted for me a number of weeks ago. But this week, Patty and I had the opportunity to have dinner with a couple. Now, I found out some time ago that the fellow in this couple had a problem with me and had some unforgiveness toward me. Now, I was not aware of the situation at all. In fact, have you ever been there when someone, you know, they're talking about something and you don't want to minimize what they feel because they feel it. It's important to them. But you don't even know about it. So we had a conversation, and our decision and what happened is we got past it. I asked for his forgiveness, and he restated and recalled what the situation was, and I didn't know that he had been offended by that. But this is something that he had held for somewhere around 4 or 5 years. And in this moment, in fact, at the encouragement of his wife, he and I talked about it. So fast forward a number of maybe a month or two, and then we decided that the four of us would get together and have dinner, that we would move beyond where we were in that moment and move to a better relationship. Just talk about kids and life and family and work and so forth. And so that's what we did this week. Now, I've known of this fellow for probably close to at least 10 years. I've known of him, known about him, worked some with him in the context of church life. But in this dinner, I learned about his life, about his the breakup of his mom and dad and her remarriage and a stepfather situation and his broken relationship with his father, which he had felt abandoned by his father, and all of these various emotions that were coming to the forefront there at the table as we had a meal together in a restaurant. So with that backdrop, it reminded me of something that's been going on in my life and in my thinking for at least a year now, because about a year ago this time, I went to a conference called the Global Leadership Conference, and I mentioned it to you before. This time around, there were over 300,000 people in this conference. It's a global webinar, if you will, a simulcast. So people in Japan and Australia, 48 prisons, over 150 nations, all watching live. No matter what time of day or night it is, where they are, they're watching live. And there were over 300,000 of us watching. It's the largest that I'm aware of any kind of simulcast of this nature on the globe. And it's produced out of a church. Some of you may know Bill Hybels. That may ring a bell for you. Willow Creek Community Church. And it's produced from there, and about 8,000 or so people are watching it in the room, but 300,000 across the globe. So the impact is tremendous, and it's regarding leadership. And for me, last year, there was a gal who spoke. Her name is Brené Brown. And Brené brought to us not only a biblical concept and what God was working in her own life, but she used a phrase that comes out of her book called Rising Strong. And the phrase is, everyone has an underlying story. Everyone has an underlying story. And I remember when I was sitting there listening to her talk about this, I was reminded of what the scripture says when it says, out of the heart, our underlying story, our mouth speaks. So I'm going to ask Emily and Hugh if they'll join me here, and I'm going to give them a piece of paper and a pen. So Emily, if you'll come on up, Hugh, if you'll come up. I'm going to bring you both, not that you need to be at the cross today, but I'm going to bring you to the cross. I'm going to put one of you here on one end of the cross at the altar. We all need to go to the altar now and then, right? Maybe every day, many times a day. So you may be better at this. Can you unfold that? Apply your youth to this task. There you go. I'm going to put you here at the end. Hugh, I'm going to let you do the same thing at the other end. You'll apply wisdom to open that up. Here's your pen. There you go. So you go down there and face Emily. So here's what we're going to do. They have a plain piece of paper. It looks just like this. I've folded it in the middle, so there's already a crease in the middle of their page. So what I'm going to ask them to do is I'm going to ask you to draw a heart, just a big heart. Remember, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So just draw a large heart using that center line as the center of the heart. This takes listening skills. A large heart would be good. That would, oh yeah, there you go, Hugh, that's excellent. Now don't, you're not done yet. You're not done yet. Now inside of that heart, draw a little smaller heart. Oh, that's really small. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do, Hugh. No one can hear me speaking to you, so don't worry about this. What I'm going to ask you to do is draw a larger heart outside of that heart. Oh, Emily, that's absolutely wonderful. So inside of that heart, draw a smaller heart. I don't know what's happening in your head, but I'm hearing... All right, so now... I want you both to hold your hearts up and show the folks so they can see your hearts. All right? That's, you know, that's pretty good, Hugh. We'll go with that. Hers is really nice. Of course it is, yeah. And see, I asked her intentionally because she's the younger of the crew. You see that? That's obvious. So here's what's going to happen now. I want you to, right where the crease is, I want you to tear the paper in half, right where the crease is. Just tear it in half. So remember the passage. It says, out of the heart the mouth speaks. So we have to start with our heart. There you go. Keep going. Doing well. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. Hugh, I want you to go over, and I want the two of you to exchange and stand right here in the middle. Exchange your hearts. Give your heart to one another. There you go. All right. Now, Hugh, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take her heart, and I want you to do this with it. I want you to hold it up like this. He went, oh, yeah.
Here's Mickey Mouse.
There you go. So you do the same, Emily. I said it wasn't going to be too embarrassing. So look at them. So what are they doing? They're wearing one another's hearts, right? But to hear is the key. What when Emily speaks, what does Hugh hear? And what does Emily hear when Hugh speaks? Thank you. You can keep her heart if you'd like, as you can keep his. Or you can exchange. Thank you. You can go down now. So with that in mind, I want you to hear this. Luke 8, 1 through 8 says this. Now, this is going to be familiar to you, so pay close attention. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and they were trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among those who grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop of 100 times more than was sown. Now, we can go all sorts of directions with this passage, but based on what we've just seen, I want you to hear what Jesus said after he gave this parable. It says, then, when he said this, he called out, meaning that Jesus gave emphasis to what he was about to say. He told the parable, and then he called out, and he said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So it's one thing to hear, it's another thing to hear, to listen, to pay attention. Now, some of us, we could look at this and we could say, well, what's Jesus saying to us? He's saying that, well, for some of us today, we are going to encounter this with one another. You're going to encounter it when you leave here. There are those that will easily hear, and then there are those that won't hear at all. And then there are those that are kind of in the middle. It may stick for a while, and then it doesn't stick. You start to talk to someone about the gospel. You start to talk about your relationship with God. And what happens is that we forget we're standing over here. I'm Hugh wearing Hugh's ears. I forget to listen to Emily, and what is Emily hearing? So now remember what we said a few moments ago. There is an underlying story. Now we would expect, seeing two people of different age, we would expect there to be a difference in experience. So one could be frustrated with the other and the other frustrated with them simply because they have an underlying story that says, surely you can't understand me because there's an age difference. And one is frustrated because the other doesn't want to receive the wisdom of all the experiences. You know, it's the difference between learning how to use a cell phone or text message. If we watched Emily text message, she would take a phone and without a thought, she would use her thumbs like this. So if you watch a person who's not a native, they're kind of an immigrant. They've immigrated to using technology, like most of us. We're immigrants to technology. She's not. She's a native. She's grown up with it. So what happens for us is if I gave you a calculator, you would hold it and use your finger. If I gave it to Emily, she would hold it and use her thumbs. And that alone, that one simple thing, sends a message to us that we're different. That we hear one another different. That what is being said and what we are communicating is, it's something that is an underlying story in us, and it can either help us or it can hinder us from hearing. Now, James 1:19, I love this passage. And about 2 years ago, I used this passage here. James 1:19 says it this way, my dear brothers and sisters, Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So here's another way to look at this. Most of us look at the process of, we look at listening, speaking, and then the emotional element of anger. Well, let me back that up for you, because really what the way you listen either is positive or negative, and what you say in response to what you heard is entirely based on your emotions. So it says, be quick to listen. Quicken yourself to listen. Have you ever seen a dog hear a noise that they go, bang, and their ears go up? They become absolutely still. You hear a noise at home that's unfamiliar, everything in you slows down. And you are totally attentive to that unfamiliar noise. You see, when we put on someone else's ears, we do that. When we intentionally listen for what they are hearing, not just what we are saying. So when it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, be intentional about the language you use. Be intentional about it. How are you going to respond? What words are you going to use? Are you going to use words that they're familiar with? I can tell you, when I told that calculator story, everyone in here has either you've recently used a calculator, but I can tell you, Emily thought about it. Yeah, I do that. I use my thumbs. Isn't that right, Emily? No, not necessarily. All right, well, there goes my message. I'll just go sit down. All right. So you're telling me that you use a calculator with your finger like that. You do. Oh, my goodness. We can, now watch it. We can speak the same language then. But I can tell you, having worked with a number of other young people, that typically what happens is you give them a calculator and they use their thumbs. So you may find someone like Emily now. See, I feel better. You and I can talk. How do you feel? Do you feel like you could use a calculator around her and not feel weird? Sure. Now, if we had a chance to talk more, you and I, you and others, what are you listening for? Are you listening for key emotions? Are you listening for where they're coming from? What are you intentionally listening for? And I would suggest this. I want to go to 2 Corinthians. And I'm taking a 4-week series and pruning it down to another 5 minutes or so. 2 Corinthians 10 says this, 3 and 4. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So let me ask you this. Are there strongholds in your life? Now let me ask you another question. What about those that you talk to? Are there strongholds in their life? So the way that the scripture tells us to overcome those strongholds, which by the way is another way of saying our underlying story. So maybe there are those around you, maybe very close to you, that have a sense of rejection, maybe hopelessness, maybe fear, anxiety. Every one of those feelings can create a stronghold in our lives that keep us from doing what the Holy Spirit calls on us to do. If He calls on us to speak to someone and to share God's love with them, and internally you hear this voice. Well, the last time I did that, I remember this. You see a picture of that person and they rejected you. That is a stronghold that the enemy uses to keep the goodness of God with being shared with someone else. Now, that could be someone in the marketplace, or it can be someone in your own family. It can be someone who they have a stronghold, and you have to be intentional about understanding what might that stronghold be. Because either there is a stronghold that the enemy uses, or a stronghold that God wants to set up. Now let me ask you this. If you think about this and someone else is hopeless, and they have a stronghold of hopelessness, what does the scripture tell us? The scripture tells us that our God, our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is what? The God of hope. It's his nature. He is the God of hope. So what is the stronghold in our life, in our spirit, in our mind? Not hopelessness, but hope. That is a fortress for us, that we are hopeful. In fact, today, there was an announcement about the passing of a beloved Christian. What is our hope? We have hope of our relationship with God extending way beyond from here. It goes on into eternity. That is our hope. And yet someone else, if they live a hopeless life, that stronghold can affect all of what they do or don't do. And if we have strongholds in our life, the enemy can use that to keep us from doing things, and it keeps others from doing those same things as well. So how do we recognize that? First of all, I think as we close on this, is that first and foremost, it's really a question that we ask the Lord. We say, Lord, help me to identify if out of my experience, whether that be life experience, church experience, whatever my experience is, has the enemy set up strongholds in my thinking? Help me with your word and the voice of your spirit to overcome those strongholds. But I want you to reveal to me if there is a stronghold. So then I can intentionally create a stronghold in my mind of your word and your grace and your mercy and your strength, so that that fortress is totally opposed to the fortress of the enemy toward me. And in addition to that, I would suggest this, that God has called us to take his grace and goodness into the world around us. In fact, one of the strongholds that we often deal with, particularly those of us who have been in the church for a long while, is that we sometimes approach others around us coming from a place of acceptance, if you will, rules. I'm going to give you an illustration and close with this. Patty and I, we were at a church in North Carolina recently. And when you come in the front door, there's a young man who's standing at the front door with a, what's that haircut called that has the, right down the center. This is close here and then right down the center. What is it? So you do know what I'm talking about. He has a mohawk that is over 12 inches high. The only way to keep it that high is he uses Elmer's white glue, combs it up, his wife holds it in place until it's fully formed in that, not completely dry, but it stays there. So he stands near the entry of the church. Now imagine this, if he were to stand right at the door as you were coming in. So think about how you would feel. Think about what you would feel. Is that a stronghold? Because that stronghold would keep you from ministering to this young man, and his name is Sterling. By the way, Sterling does that intentionally. He stands there every Sunday morning. And they have military people, young men, young women by the droves. Some have crazy haircuts and tattoos everywhere. But they walk, they come in to the message of the grace and goodness of God. Because the scripture tells us that it's not whether you have a mohawk or not. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So I know I was out of time a moment ago, but listen to this carefully. Because sometimes what we do is we look at someone and the inner stronghold of our thinking tells us something about that person, and the enemy has already won. He gets to keep that person if we are unwilling to share God's grace and goodness. If we're unwilling to love and care, if we're unwilling to accept and receive, the enemy has won a soul. So I would challenge you today. Now, what I didn't tell you is he's also the executive pastor of the church. Yeah, isn't that neat? And I have a picture. If you want to see him, just ask me. I have a picture of me and Jordan and I. We're standing together and Sterling is standing there with his mohawk up, you know. It's just kind of a clearing way. You know, people who come into the church who would be offended by a mohawk, well, they'll probably just turn around and go back to the parking lot. And that's just sad. So when you encounter people in your life and you have that feeling, don't let the enemy win. Don't let your underlying story or the stronghold overcome or defeat what God is doing and wants to do through you to reach others around you. And that, in effect, you've got to put on their ears. Let's bow together. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, sometimes your word just challenges us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to challenge us and loving us enough to incorporate us into reaching the world around us. So, Lord, help us with our underlying story so that we can bring redemption, your redemption to others with their broken and underlying story, that it might be healed. And they might come to the cross and know you and have a right, righteous relationship with you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.